Good morning. 9:27. I'm Jeff, and this is The People Speak. I'm going to be talking today with State Representative David Freese. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Not a problem. Like to check in every once in a while and see what's going on in the the districts, I know, changed. This is the 115th now?
That is correct. The 115th.
So it takes a little while to get it readjusted to those when they do that, but
they drew new maps. They give us new boundaries and they gave us new numbers. So we'll get through it.
Exactly. So I got a few topics that we want to talk about today. But I'll tell you what, before we jump into them, let's go ahead and get a break out of the way and we'll come back and talk.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Talk with State Representative David Freese here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back, 9:32, and again, this is The People Speak, and I'm Jeff, talking today with State Representative David Freese. And Representative, I know we've got one topic we want to talk about, but since that was just in the news, talking about gun control, I'll throw that in real quick. Any information? I know there was a judge who passed a law recently ruled in favor of... Against the gun control bill is what I'm saying.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, they ruled in favor of the plaintiffs. They determined or made a ruling that the gun ban is unconstitutional. My understanding that has been appealed immediately to the Supreme Court, directly to the Supreme Court, and they're in the process of briefing their arguments, and we'll see what the Illinois Supreme Court says.
Okay. Hopefully we'll get a justifiable ruling, put it that way.
I've reached out to some people, even though the trial court said, and from my understanding, it is unconstitutional, and there's debate as whether or not it applies to just the named plaintiffs or if it is statewide. Some people are of the opinion that it is statewide, and I reached out to some dealers. And I said, well, okay, now that, you know, on the premise that this does apply statewide, are you going to start selling those guns that are banned? And locally in Southern Illinois, the ones I've communicated with, they're going to hold off until this goes up to the Supreme Court and we get a ruling out of the Supreme Court.
Okay. Yeah, I know a lot of the businesses that I've went to in the past, it looks kind of strange to walk in and not see any of these type of weapons on the shelves.
Yeah, because they're very, very popular.
And, you know, like I've said before, you know, I look at it as a sporting rifle. I mean, it's also used in hunting. So, I mean, it's, you know, kind of misrepresented in among some groups.
Intentionally misrepresented, absolutely.
All right. Well, I guess the other topic deals out here with the shooting complex here in Randolph County, and kind of an update on that.
Yeah, so I'm excited to announce that last week that went through committee, and it went through with flying colors. Everybody was in support of it, even the Democrats. I spoke to them before and after the meeting. And everybody's of the mindset that if the shooting complex is held by a private entity, it'll be better utilized. You know, and that's some of the complaints that I, you know, received since getting elected, is that there's one or two major shoots out there. There should be more. There should be something going on every weekend, if not every day. And hopefully, when it is held by a private entity, you know, a for-profit entity, it'll be better utilized, and you know, that'll be just a bigger impact on the local community. From what I understand, the grant that they hold out there, that's a $20 to $30 million impact on the local economy. So if we had more shoots out there of that size, or just more events out there on a regular basis, you know, imagine what kind of economic impact that could have for the local community.
Right, right. I've always said that it would be an opportune place for people that like to go out. I mean, you have, you know, your indoor ranges, but this would offer outdoor ranges for people during the year that could actually be a source of ongoing income.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, And I know if you want to talk about things that run well and efficiently, you know, governmental agencies and entities don't, you know, come to the top of the list, you know. And I hate picking on the DMV, but they're a prime example. Now I know people that work at the DMV; they're good people. But as a whole, when you go to the DMV, you don't get the best service out there. And if it was a private entity, you know, people can compete for your business. You know, things would be run better. I think think about it. If the DMV was run by polite people like at Chick-fil-A, think about how nice that would be. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I think when this, you know, assuming that somebody does purchase the shooting complex, I think it'll be maximized. I really do. I'm really looking forward to it.
Right. And obviously too, I mean, and this is an opinion on my part, but, with the current state, government, as far as the governor and the top positions and that the being of their mindset, anything that has to do with guns is not going to be a top priority.
Yeah. And I know there were some people when we first broached this subject about selling it to a private entity. See, there's some exemptions out there that apply to the ATA when they hold the grand. And everybody that I've spoken with DNR, and I've spoken with Lynn Gibson with the ATA, we are going to make sure that all those exemptions stay in place so the ATA can still hold the grand. Obviously, I want it to be held out there, that the director of DNR wants it to continue to be out there. So everybody, even though the governor is not what, you know, we would deem a pro Second Amendment politician, all the people in his staff that are working on this are of the opinion that the ATA needs to continue to have those exemptions and hold the grand out there, because it's just, I mean, it would be just a sad situation if that did not happen. So everybody's working on the same page, pulling in the same direction on this, which is, again, rare for state government, but I think we're going to be able to pull this off.
Right. Well, we saw a few years back when the ATA did move their grand into Missouri, the impact it had on the local economy.
Oh, yeah. And also, see, I'm not a trap shooter. You know, I do it for fun every now and then, but not like these people that go to these competitions. But I've spoken with the people that do that, and they were really disappointed because the facility in Missouri where they had to go to was not nearly as nice as the shooting complex out there at Sparta. They are eager to get it back in Sparta. They love being in Sparta. Everybody's in support of this.
Right. I was working for a local newspaper back whenever this whole plan to move the grand and stuff to Sparta began. And in fact, is went out to Dayton to observe, you know, and do a story on that out there. But talking to some of these shooters, I mean, these are people that will spend $20,000 to $25,000 on a shotgun.
Wow. Yeah. See, I know they're expensive, but I mean, that's, if I spend $20,000 on something, it better have four wheels, you know.
And a title, right?
Absolutely.
So, but no, that's...
No, those guys out there, they take it serious. I know they do. They come in from all over. They spend a lot of money in the community, and it's a great event, it really is. I've been out there to, you know, socialize and eat some of the food out there. It's a great time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I definitely want to keep that, and appreciate your work in working on that as well. See some of the other things. Well, since we've talked the last time, the governor gave his State of the State and budget address. Any comments on that? Or
well, just generally, I know he paints a very rosy picture, and truth is, we have more money in the bank, if you will. But a lot of that was COVID money that we got from the feds. That money is not going to be there in the coming years. In addition, you know, the economic forecast, not only for Illinois, but for the country as a whole, is we're going to be heading into a recession in the near future. And even, you know, I had some briefings in Springfield last week, and even the state, you know, economists are forecasting that. So it's not all rosy. We need to prepare for this, and the way we should be preparing for it is we should stop spending money that you know we're counting on that probably is not going to be there if we do have this economic downturn, which again my understanding is coming. It's just a matter of the severity of what's going to be there in the future.
Right. I mean, when you look at, you know, the federal budget and the deficit that's creating, that continues to go. I mean, you can't not going to be able to rely on federal bailouts, or you don't want to put your hopes and, you know, future aspirations on that.
Absolutely not. No. And again, it, you know, and the governor, he keeps pushing in our state legislature as well, you know, rules and regulation and laws that are not only not business friendly, but they're hostile to business. And we really need to get away from that. I mean, you can't tax people that are leaving the state. And that's where we find ourselves, is the people who have the economic means that are tired of the political system here in the state of Illinois are leaving. They're going to Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, you know, states that have a more business friendly climate. And then we really need to turn that attitude around in Springfield.
Right, exactly. All right, I'll tell you what, we've got another break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick. And we'll come back and talk some more with State Representative David Freese here on The People Speak right after this. Talking today with State Representative David Freese. We were talking about the shooting complex, obviously, and the assault weapons ban status in the state right now. Some of the other things that are going on right now?
Well, obviously everybody's familiar with the Safety Act, all of the rules and changes to criminal justice. There are some, what I would call minor bills, trying to work their way through the House. I'm not sure what's going on in the Senate, but the Democrats are still trying to tweak some things. You know, example is they are trying to define minors now up to the age of 23 in many instances. That way they will not go to DOC as opposed to a juvenile detention center. You know, just things like that. There's numerous bills like that going through. And then we've got some other bills going through that I don't know if they'll get to the floor, but I know there's one state representative that is pushing for the legalization of mushrooms. Why he's doing this, who knows? My thought is it's probably to generate another stream of tax revenue. You know, social consequences be damned. It's unfortunate, but I think we've got enough drugs running around in our society. We don't need anything else out there, legal or not.
Yeah, right. I agree with that. Let's see. I was just kind of glancing through here. Some of the things you've done here, you honored the first group of mentors and mentees of the Women's Leadership Initiative. What is that exactly?
Yeah, so this is something I actually put on my office, and what we do is we pair up local mentors, people, women in business, to high school ladies, you know, either juniors or seniors, to mentor them in a field that they may be interested, you know, show them, you know, hey, how you make contacts, how you get into the field that you're interested in. It's really a very neat program, and this was actually an idea by my LA, Kathy, and it's turned out to be really awesome. We've found some phenomenal mentors and some really great high school young ladies that are taking advantage of the program. And hopefully they'll get something out of it and, you know, be on a very productive pathway. You know, I don't, when I was growing up and I was, you know, 17, 18, didn't really appreciate what I wanted to do. And it would have been nice to have somebody there who had been through those trials to point you in the right direction and just give you a helping hand. And right. that's what we're trying to do.
Right. I think, and you go back, I was, a few years earlier, I graduated high school in 1980. So, there was, I guess, some programs similar, but not nearly on the scale that they are now and not really near as much of an effect.
Yeah, no, I ran into a high school principal last week, he loves it. He's got a couple girls in it, has one gone through, one in it now, and he thinks it's a great program. And again, it's just trying to give these young ladies a helping hand.
Right. Anything on the education front in the district?
No, nothing major. I'm trying to think if there's anything coming through that I've got wind of. We're trying to verify there's several scholarships that the state offers, and there's some confusion about among some of the colleges on how they should be applied. And I've been in some higher education working groups, and we're trying to relay to those colleges that, hey, everybody needs to be on the same page with this grant. If the state's going to foot the bill for part of this, then you guys can contribute an additional amount towards getting this. And it's a merit-based program. So and what is designed to do, I believe the name of the program is Aim High. It's designed to keep smart kids in the state of Illinois going to a state school, a public school, so they do not go to a neighboring state. Because once you go to a college out of state, which I think it's like 75% of those kids never return back to the state of Illinois. So what we've got is in essence a brain drain within the state. We've got kids who are smart, that have been offered scholarships in other universities out of state. They go there, they get an education, and they stay there. We need to keep those smart kids in the state of Illinois. That's how we're going to, hopefully, further grow our economy.
Right. I mean, Illinois already has an issue of people migrating out of the state. We don't want to,
And this just exacerbates the situation. Last year we lost over 100,000 residents. They left our state. And those individuals were higher wage earners. They earned, I want to say, like $150,000 was the average. So, they're going for greener pastures. And it's hard to argue against that. And what happens if you get a kid who's going to graduate college with a four-year degree, a bachelor's degree in some area, is he going to stay in an out-of-state where he's got lower income taxes, lower property taxes? And if he wants to be an entrepreneur, is going to be more business-friendly. So it's hard to encourage people to come back to the state of Illinois once they've left. It just is.
I know last year you talked a little bit about it, and I know there's been some talk recently on the Chester Bridge project. Anything new with that?
Well, it's scheduled. We just put out a post. The MoDOT, I believe, just awarded the contract to the entity that's going to build it, and I'm down there on a regular basis because that's where I primarily practice in Randolph County. And I see, they've got those nice orange stakes with orange flags, stuck out there periodically. So I think they've been doing some surveying, and hopefully we'll be breaking ground here real soon.
Right. I think that'll be nice. It'll take a few years, but once it's completed, that's really going to be nice compared to, that bridge there now is... it served its time, and it's it's just like all of us when you get older,
Yeah, I don't know what the lifespan of that bridge is. I assume that they said, after so many years, it's going to be, ready to retire. But from the looks of it, it is beyond that time period. It's they even made some major repairs, some decking repairs, this past year, and it's still, it's a very narrow bridge, and we've got Gilster Mary Lee on both sides of the bridge, and you see those trucks pass each other, and I don't know how they fit. It's amazing.
Right. Economically wise, it's a vital artery through there.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I guess, and a little bit out of the immediate area, but still an issue. I mean, that you're dealing with, I see, is the Shope Mental Health.
Right. So that is, it's really a sad situation. They've had, unfortunately, employees that would abuse residents there. And if another employee, you know, saw them, then the abuser would then threaten to the other employees. So they had an ongoing problem there. Hopefully, we've raised some issues with that. The state's on it. They've had a report on how bad the situation is. And there's some talk, and I don't have it from me, we put out like 10 points that we should implement as a state. Video cameras in common areas. One of the things that I really would like to see is a temporary director there that would get a hold of things, get everything under control, and then put somebody in place that really has the best interest of the residents there at heart.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And in situations like that, you need to need. I mean, the cameras are obvious. You would think that they would already be there, but
yeah, a lot of things you think the state should do or should have done, and they don't get done.
Right.
But you know, unfortunately, sometimes it just takes a spotlight to bring to bear on a situation and make some good changes. I just, obviously, we want to keep that facility open. It would be nice. So we'll just have to wait and see if we can get the reforms that we want, and hopefully the state doesn't shut it down.
Exactly. Representative, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and people can, I mean, they can obviously get more information calling your offices. I got a question or need assistance, and
oh yeah, absolutely. And follow me on Facebook, do all that stuff. And unfortunately, I'm actually in my car on my way to Springfield now. I pulled over so to talk to you guys. just Google State Representative David Fries or whatever search engine is you like to use, and I should pop up all my contact info.
All right, and thanks again for talking with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
Right. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye. State Representative David Fries here on The People Speak today. That'll wrap things up. Have a great day. We will talk to you again tomorrow.